But we went to the post office and we looked at the flag. He goes, but you see, my son, you see that flag? He goes, that's your flag.
Mm.
You're an American. He goes, never forget where you came from, Mexico. But he says, you're an American and this is your country and that's your flag.
Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to the Manifesting Money Podcast. My name's Anita Aguilar. I am your host, as well as a money mindset coach, a manifesting expert, and so are you, and I'm going to show you how, and the CEO of a multi-million dollar company teaching manifestation. This podcast's purpose is to bring massive consciousness around the world of money manifestation, and we want to share our stories to truly help you understand that money is just energy. It's an unlimited resource that you can tap into at any given point in time. The way that you feel about money is how it shows up for you. So if you have the limiting belief that you have to work super hard for money, this podcast is for you. I'm going to be sharing the things that I personally learned the hard way, but I'm also going to be sharing tips, tricks, strategies, and stories of those who truly healed their relationships with money and have mastered attracting abundance. Now, without further ado, let's get right to it. Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back.
Yes.
Welcome back to the Manifesting Money Podcast. I am super happy and grateful that you are tuning in today, whether you are a long-term listener or if you are just now finding us, tuning into the podcast, maybe you've been binging over our break. Either way, we are happy and grateful that you are here. So I'm actually celebrating each and every one of you, and I couldn't think of a better day to drop a new episode on our new season. I believe this is our third season, other than my birthday. I wanna celebrate with all my guests. Happy birthday to me. Yeah. Yep. So that was my little birthday song to myself and my twin. Yes. I have a twin. For those of you who are new listeners, or maybe you have been listening, you didn't know, I have a twin sister. And I'm going to drop her information in the boop show notes. So, okay, as you can see, I'm just really excited to be back and so grateful that you are all are investing the time and energy into this podcast. I'm telling you, we're coming with all some new stuff and just new energy and just really excited for this quantum leap that is happening right now. So since it has been a minute since I've been back in the energy, I have a lot of announcements before we get to today's actual episode and some context of the episode as well. So first things first, again, if you're a new listener, welcome. We're so happy and grateful to have you here investing the time and energy into your mindset. So if you are not already subscribed to our YouTube channel, highly recommend go down to the show notes, and hit that subscribe button because we're going to be posting a lot more videos now that I'm finally in my final destination, none other than... Can you guess? Do you know where I'm at? Well, the answer is New York. I moved to New York City, and that is why I've been on a season break for those of you who are maybe, again, new to the podcast or just don't know where the heck we've been and why haven't I been posting, and that's because I was going through a transition, literally moving coast to coast, and I'm finally here in my dream city. Don't worry, there's so many podcasts coming up about what it's been like moving here, the physical move, which is, again, context with the episode today, but also just being here and being in this energy. And again, I just want to give so much gratitude to myself for following through with this decision. I want to give gratitude to all the people who've been so supportive since I've gotten here. And I know some of you listening to this podcast have met me here. And I just think it's truly incredible to be connected with other people who are also operating at their highest. So again, with that being said, since I'm at my home base, now I can invest a lot more time and energy into the podcast. We've decided that we're actually going to be doing... 2 episodes a week. Yes, you heard it here first. So we are actually taking all of these testimonies that we get every single day and putting them all in one place. And that is in our Patreon. So this Patreon, just to give you guys all context and fair warning, that it is going to be raw. It is really the unfiltered version of the Manifesting Money podcast and a way that we can really elaborate on the topics that are coming up in these messages, in these testimonies, and really just give you that time and energy that you deserve to be celebrated. So again, that's going to be in our private Patreon. You can find that down in the show notes below. And I'm just so excited not only to share your stories, but to really just open up the conversation about these topics with people who I really trust. And I have so much gratitude that I get to hang around and they're going to be helping me reading these testimonies on the Patreon. So again, for those of you who want a little bit more than one episode a week, you can find that in the show notes down below. But last announcement before we get to today's episode is all about freebies. Free, 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 free. So again, if you're super new, or maybe you've been in our energy, you just haven't really done any of our workshops, I now have a resource available for all of you who are, again, just now tapping into the money mindset, tapping into the energetics of money, and really understanding the basic concepts, how it works, and how it can work for you. So I have a freebie down below in the show notes that's not only going to help you, but it's going to help us because it has your testimony from this workshop. And it just really goes to show that this work does not discriminate. I don't care how young you are, how quote unquote new you are, or if it seems like the world is against you with money right now, I'm telling you that this workshop does not discriminate. And I'm just so excited for you guys to get your hands on it. So make sure you take advantage of that. And yeah, leads us to our introduction of what this podcast episode is all about. So for those of you who are conscious of money mindset, law of attraction, manifestation, again, it's something that is always happening, and I'm not here to try to convince you that this is true. I'm really just here to make people aware, to be conscious that their thoughts are creating their reality, especially when it comes to money and it comes to our deep rooted subconscious beliefs about money. And those stories come from our family. So in our community, a lot, again, we're breaking down these stories of where did these beliefs about money come from? But today's episode is about really, really seeing all of the amazing talents and gifts and blessings that have also been handed down for generations from our lineage. So while I was going through this shift, a huge, huge priority of mine was to really understand who Anita is. Where did Anita come from? Where is her family from? Where is her lineage? For those of you who don't know, I am actually from Nebraska. I am Hispanic. And of course, you know, people say, oh, you're Hispanic. Where are you from? And I'd be like, I really don't know, because I really haven't gone down that rabbit hole. And this break, that was something that I consciously wanted to do. So my grandmother and my grandfather have both passed in recent years. But this episode, I got to reconnect with my great uncle Frank and interview him about how my grandpa Santos and my grandma Maria migrated from Mexico to El Paso, Texas. So for those of you who follow me on Instagram, I posted a lot of pictures of this, but I will post for this specific episode so you can get some context of the area that my family grew up around. And from there, how we got to Nebraska. I'm telling you guys, your jaws are going to drop. And for me, this was a really big tearjerker, mostly because, again, it was my family. But I just feel like it's probably going to resonate with you all in a way that you don't even know yet. So excited for you all to listen to this episode. And without further ado, let's get right to it. Where are you originally from?
Aurora, Nebraska. / Marquette.
Shout out Nebraska. Okay, what is your favorite book?
The Bible.
Is there a specific verse?
There's a lot of them.
Love it. And who was your first mentor?
Mr. Troy Young from church.
And how old were you when you met him?
I'll be in my early 40s.
And if you could, like, take away one specific thing that you really, really learned from him, what would it be?
What a godly man is supposed to be like in his family.
When's the first time that you've invested into yourself? Like, what comes to mind when I say that?
When I went to El Paso Community College and obtained my associate's degree to be a surgical technician.
Wow, that's huge. Awesome. So good. So again, we're going to dive deep on a lot of the stuff that we just said. But I specifically wanted to get this on audio because I just know there's so much more to the story about how the family came here from Mexico to straight to Aurora, right?
No, Mexico to Texas, to the valley.
Whoa.
It was Matamoros, Mexico, and then from there to the valley, Brownsville, and that area.
Mm. And how old were you when?
I wasn't born yet. I was born in Nebraska.
Oh. So what specifically, or who at that time was born?
At that time, my brother Jerry, Greg, Santos, Mike, Melinda, and Mary.
Mm.
Just me. I wasn't.
So are you the youngest?
I'm the youngest.
Okay. See, I'm putting this all together, too. It's like, I know people tell me, but it's also like, I kind of get mixed up, so that helps a lot, too. So you were the youngest. Everybody had came from Mexico to the valley. So my grandpa told me that he put everybody in a car and they drove.
Yeah. Your grandfather was the only one that was born in Mexico. Mm. The rest of my siblings were born in Texas.
Mm.
But he, at age 14, we followed a trail of other Mexican migrants to Nebraska. And he was, like I said, just 14 years old, driving.
14?
Just a young boy.
Wait, because where is my grandpa at in the...
Your grandfather was the eldest.
Mm. Wow. So 14, he drove everybody over here. Okay, I heard that we were all, that they everybody was in one car.
Yeah, it was a small car.
Oh my gosh.
Pretty small car.
And I think Uncle Greg said something about one suitcase.
Yes, I believe so.
Whoa, this is so crazy. So I would love to know, I know we were kind of talking about dinner too, about like being one of the only Hispanics in Nebraska. What were some early memories of growing up in Nebraska?
Some were real positive. Some were negative.
Mm.
The people in Nebraska are good, decent, hardworking people, the way I remember them. But like in all places, there's people with some prejudice for certain reasons.
Mm.
So I do have some fond memories and some that are somewhat painful.
What do you think was the hardest thing for probably the whole family going through that transition?
I think just... adapting to a new culture, a new language, learning to be Americans.
Mm. So Grandma Maria, did she only speak Spanish?
She could speak a little bit English and read a little English, but she was fluent in her language was Spanish.
Mm. Yeah, I remember when I was little, we'd be at Grandma Georgie's and she'd be there and she'd say, you know, like, how's school going? And I'd be like, I'm five. I never knew what she was saying. And then I got really scared because everybody would laugh when I would say that. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I'm not saying it wrong, right? You know? So I was curious about when you were growing up, like, was everybody speaking English or Spanish or what was?
Oh, no. I spoke Spanish to mom and dad, but to my siblings, English.
And was everybody like that, the same way?
It was like that. It was like that.
Like, when you were out in town, were you told to speak English, or was it just something you just kind of did?
Well, my father, this was before, or around the time I was born, my brothers and sisters were just getting into school here in Nebraska, and my dad says, no more Spanish. I don't want you guys speaking no more Spanish. You're going to speak English to each other so that they could pick up the language.
Whoa.
Because they didn't speak English.
Whoa. That's crazy. Do you think that was, like, hard on everybody?
At first they said it was, but it helped them to transition, make the transition.
Mm. And so was everybody trying to think of, like age?
At that time, when I was born in 1958, your grandfather was 21.
Well,
so he was way older than me. And then my brother Greg, who followed him, was, I think, 6 years younger.
Mm.
And then Aunt Mary, my sister, was 2 years younger than him. And then my brother Santos was a year younger than her. Brother Mike, a year younger than Santos.
Wow.
And then I think there was a gap. My sister Melinda was maybe 2 years from Mike.
Mm.
And then the gap between my sister Melinda and myself is 5 years.
Whoa. Wow. So did you and my grandpa have like a, what kind of relationship was that?
Oh, it was beautiful. He was, people thought he was my dad.
I was going to say that because of the age range.
Yeah. He was awesome. He was a very loving brother.
Mm. Yeah, like, what's your favorite memory?
Oh, gee, Christmas.
Mm.
Taking me with him and my dad by the Christmas tree, and him buying me toys and taking me to the theater to watch in Aurora, and always spoiling me, just with a lot of love. And I used to sleep with him.
Mm.
Yeah, just cuddle up with him. Yeah, he was a big bear.
That is so cute. Wow, because even that, like, honestly, I had no idea of, like, the dynamic of how much of an age gap that there was.
It was.
And I do vividly remember Christmas being Grandpa's favorite holiday. And it was less about the presents, but more of, like, everybody, like, being together, you know?
That's what it was. There was a lot of... We were, like I said, we were a poor family. We didn't have much, but love we didn't lack.
Do you remember any, like, specific hard times when it came to finances?
You know, I was a child. It was warm. There was plenty to eat.
Mm.
I'm sure there were, but I don't recall it.
Mm.
To me, I felt like we were rich.
Wow, because of how much love.
Yeah.
Mm. That's so beautiful.
In December of last year, I lost everything in my apartment, my car transmission went out, and I lost my job by false pretense, all within the same couple of weeks.
Oh my gosh, my heart!
Yeah. I was devastated, but I knew I had to keep pushing and not give up, as I am a single mom of a beautiful baby girl who just turned 6.
Why am I going to cry? Oh my gosh.
I have chills. I can't read. She is my motivation to keep going and reminds me that I can't give up. I've really learned about hustling and trying to stay afloat over the past months, even until now. I've been praying and manifesting positive affirmations over my daughter's life and mine.
Hello, beautiful souls. Just wanted to give you a sneak peek of our Patreon. If you're not already subscribed, make sure you do so. We drop an episode with your testimonies every single Thursdays. You can find the link down below in the show notes. Now let's get back to the episode. Uncle Greg was telling me that from a young age that, like, the boys went to work and the girls, I think, were at home, but...
Uncle Greg, yeah, could tell you much more, but we were immigrant farm workers.
Mm-hmm.
So my brother Jerry started working at, well, we did field work.
Mm-hmm.
And then your grandfather started working in the red and white store in Nebraska. Mm. But the rest of us, you know, we did field work, you know, cleaning soybean, alfalfa. And me, I was small, so I really didn't get a lot of that. I was a water boy, along with my sister, Melinda. Mm. But my other brothers and sisters worked long, hard hours with the hoe cleaning and the machete, cleaning the fields for Nebraska farmers.
Whoa. And how old were you when you were the water boy?
Oh, I don't know, 4, 5, 6.
Whoa.
You know, I just stayed and played on the end of the rows with a, you know, underneath the shade.
Wow. That is so crazy. Honestly, like, even this stuff, I had no idea. I mean, I was conscious that, like, everybody worked in different areas and that there was a lot of work in Nebraska.
There was.
And everybody always asks me, like, what's in Nebraska? And I'm like, nice people. But
that's true.
Yeah, I'm sure at that time there was a lot of opportunity for the fields and stuff. I would love to know more about Grandpa Santos.
Okay. Well, he was he could have been my grandfather. Mm-hmm. I was the child of his old age. Mm. So, you know, I received a lot of love from my father and a lot of protection from him, a lot of wise counsel. He was a very giving father, very sacrificing. He always told me how much he loved me, what a beautiful boy I was, and that he would say, I'm from Mexico. Mexico is my country, my flag. I love the United States. And he goes, I love Nebraska. He says, but we went to the post office and we looked at the flag. He goes, but you see, my son, you see that flag? He goes, that's your flag. Mm. You're an American. He goes, never forget where you came from, Mexico. But he says, you're an American and this is your country and that's your flag. And I'll never forget that.
Mm. Wow. And how old do you think you were at that time?
Oh, gee, I was about 5.
Wow.
I was small. I would always interpret for my father.
Wow.
Going to the doctor and at the store, tell him this, ask him that, and I would translate to him for my dad.
Wow. I think it's awesome that you even remember that from that age.
I do.
Yeah. Because one of the things that we talk about a lot is like our most, from the ages 0 to 7 years old, that's when our minds are like sponges and we remember the most. And so the fact that you were like 5 says a lot because that's like one of the core memories. Wow. And was he in the military?
Yes, he was in the Mexican Army. He fought in the Mexican Revolution of 1910, just when he was about 14.
Oh, my God!
He fought against, he was a Carrancista, which means he fought for the government, who fought against Pancho Villa.
Whoa. At 14 years old.
At 14 years old.
And how long was he gone for?
Ooh, he was, I don't know, maybe 14, 15, 3, 4, 5 years.
Holy guacamole!
And he never received any kind of injury by the grace of God.
Do you remember what his MOS was?
Infantry, just an infantry soldier. Cavalry, I guess, because he used to mount a horse.
Whoa. And what, like, I'm trying to think years-wise.
Oh, 19... Well, see, he was 1901, he was born. He must have been... About the time, 1917, 1918, about the time that World War I was going on here in the United States. Whoa. That's the time the Mexican Revolution was going on.
This is all so new to me.
Oh, okay.
Like, I've literally never heard any of this before, so I'm like,
okay,
so mind blown right now. So he must have got back when he was...
17, 18. Just a young man.
And he was back in Mexico?
Oh, yeah. He was in Mexico.
And that's where you met Grandma Maria?
No. My father, there was another woman in his life. He didn't marry her. They just, in those days, just kind of got together. And her name was Catalina. And through her, he had 3 daughters who are my 3 half-sisters, but they were never raised with us. But his first wife, like his common law, died when he was very young, and he was left with three daughters. But he didn't raise them, his family did. And then years later, about 10 years later, that's when he met my mother, and that's where my brother and your dad and my brother and sisters come from.
Wow!
As a matter of fact, Julie Garcia,
mm-hmm.
her mother was my half-sister, Estella, from my dad's first marriage.
And so are they in Mexico or are they here?
They were, they were all born in Mexico. Mm. And then they came here to the States.
So are they in?
Well, they're all deceased now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All of them, yeah.
Whoa. Wow. So how old was Grandpa Santos when she passed?
I think he was around 20, he was 26. Because he married my mom at 36.
Whoa. I'm 26 right now.
Oh, wow.
So this is, I don't know, my mind is so blown right now. These stories are so good. Thank you. And I also would like, I know that was one of your core memories of Grandpa Santos as a father. Are there any things like else about like Grandpa Santos as like a father, like when you remember when growing up?
Oh, there's so many, but I remember being sick and him just, I think I was on my bed. I think I had the measles or something.
Wow.
And I remember he was in tears and he was like, "Are you okay, my son?" And I told my dad, "Dad, I'm going to die if you don't buy me a bag of soldiers." In army, but that's what, and the next thing I know, there they are.
That's so sweet. That's something I would say. Kind of going back to him and Grandma Maria, do you remember specifically how they met?
Yes. From the account of my mother, She was 18 years younger than him. As a matter of fact, in Mexico those days when someone would die, they would have the showing in the home. Mm. And so when his wife passed, he was a poor man. They had a little home and his wife was there. And, you know, the show they were viewing, and a lot of people in their village were coming around to see her, pay the respects. Well, my mother and her three friends said, "Hey, I heard so-and-so, somebody died. Let's go look, get our curiosity." So she said, she tells me, "I remember seeing, you know, his wife, that lady, you know, in the casket." He goes, "And I remember a man in a little white shirt, a little rolled-up sleeves, sitting next to her in a chair, very sad, slumped mm-hmm. over." She goes, "I had no idea that man would later become my husband." That's what she told me.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that wild?
So wild.
I know.
So where did they meet again?
My father, she was very pretty, my mother, and he caught his eye. But my father, her dad was very strict.
Mm.
He was very strict because he was all... He was in the war too, and he was on Pancho Villa's side.
Mm.
He was a Villista. He was very strict with my mother. So he asked in those days if some woman, like you wouldn't go up and knock the door, "Hey, is Elisa here?" No, no, no. There was, "Would you take this letter to Señorita Maria, and would you see if she'll respond to me?" And first my mom said, "Oh, no.
Oh my God.
What do you want? The people, is it the young pretty girl like you and with a widower?"
Mm.
No, but for some reason she saw my dad and she thought he was handsome. And so later on, it took him a while, but later on she said, "Yes, I will respond to your letters." So they started sending letters, you know, by secret. And I guess the thing, my mom says that one day she would go down to the river to get water for washing. And my father was heading down there for something. And he says that she was on the other side of the river and he was on this side. And he looked at her and she said, Maria. And she looked at him. She says, Santos, like that. But she said that my mother says that he was so much touched and in love with her that his lips were trembling.
Oh, my gosh. Now my standards are so high. If he does not come to my door, knocking on the door persistently after I say no, that is like a movie. This is literally like a movie. Oh, my gosh. So they didn't plan that at all to be at the...
No, it just happened. My mom always says it was because the Lord brought us together.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So beautiful. That kind of goes to my next question, too. I was going to ask, like religion in the household.
Oh, we were brought up Catholic.
Mm. Yeah,
they were Catholic. They were devout Catholics.
So would you go to church every Sunday, or were you, involved during the week?
Oh, us?
Mm-hmm.
It was Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It was Sunday church service.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about living in Nebraska?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It was at the old St. Mary's Catholic
Church. Oh, yeah. St. Mary's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, they moved to where they are now.
Mm.
But before, it used to be in a different location by the railroad tracks.
Mm. And where's, growing up was, religion talked about a lot in the household? Or was it something that you only did on Sundays?
My father was very moral. And mm-hmm. So was my mom. So she was always talking to me about God,
mm-hmm.
and about the Holy Spirit, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that there's one God, not three.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad would, I would see him praying, mm-hmm. and my mother too.
Wow. Yeah. I think that's huge.
Impact.
Yeah, because you see, you know, especially in those times, I think it's one thing when... going to church every Sunday. But I think it's also another thing when you literally watch your parents, set that example. I have early memories in our household where it was, because my dad was Catholic, my mom was Christian. So I think with my mom, and even my stepdad, Pat, he didn't want to go to church. And I remember that. I literally remember, my mom grabbing him. He's in bed and she's grabbing his foot. She's like, let's go, let's go, let's go. And then all of a sudden, one day, it was literally like that. I will never forget it. It was like my brain could not register what was happening. It was like at the time, I didn't know what had happened. But he was the one let's go to church.
Oh,
literally all the time they were reading the Bibles and they were like little kids. They would go to Kansas City to... a specific church, and I realized that he got saved, and that's where the shift came from. But yeah, I guess I was just very curious, growing up, what, and I know you said Catholic in the household.
Yes, yeah, wow. So that's what we were raised Catholic.
Wow. So do you have any of your own specific memories of just connections with God?
Yeah, I am. Well, I guess from when I was small, you know, I had a lot. There was a man named Father Duwinski, and I just remember he was a good man. And we were walking through the cornfields in Nebraska, and I just wanted to be around him because I knew I could sense he loved me.
Mm.
But then later on, I broke away from the Catholic Church, and I was introduced to. Well, I was. I started going to a charismatic church, non-denominational, and that's where I was told about salvation.
Wow.
And I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But I have great love for the Catholic people because that's where I don't bash them or anything. Not at all, because I mean, that's we're all, it's the same God.
Yeah. Go one. Do you ever feel guilty?
No, I don't. I don't. I felt sad because I knew I hurt my mom and dad, especially my father, when I told him that I was no longer going to Catholic Church. But with time, he understood.
Mm. Yeah. And that probably took a lot for you to go off on your own.
It was hard.
Mm. Wow. That's like, again, you setting the example for your children to do the same. So thank you for doing that.
Oh.
We'll do that. But, so we're wrapping up slowly here. If somebody is listening to this right now, and they are someone who has just moved to a whole new area, different culture, different language, different belief systems, what advice would you give them?
I guess I think of the people of Ukraine.
Mm.
I would just say, try to embrace the new culture you're living in.
Mm.
Try to take in what's good, and try to not fight it.
Mm.
Try to transition. Mm. You know, learn the language. Learn the culture. Don't forget where you came from.
Mm.
You know, 'cause that's part of you. But at the same time, try to melt in. Try to learn, like I said, learn that culture and the language and their ways. And especially if it's a country that's feeding you, don't badmouth it.
Mm. Wow, I like that country that's feeding you. Yeah, that's such a good analogy too. Kind of what we were talking about at dinner, how you came, you loved Nebraska. And then you came here. What was that like transition again for you?
Oh, it was hard. I wasn't in El Paso, and I wasn't born here. I was born in the Midwest, and like you, was used to just hamburgers, hot dogs, mm-hmm. mashed potatoes. My mom's cooking in Mexican food, but here it was just different here. It was just different. I didn't like speaking to young people my age in Spanish. I only spoke to mom and dad in Spanish. And I didn't fit in.
Thank you for sharing that. It helps so many people, because I think a lot of times, even all of these stories, like a lot of times, like I feel like our generation is really like living from the manifestation of our grandparents making that move to the States, and then them working so that our kids will have a better lives, and then they go to school. And I feel like even our generation, where we're going to school and we're, you know, and I think this was like kind of what Grandpa Santo says, don't forget where you came from. And that's a message that's been coming up for me a lot. And I think when I grew up, I didn't have like, I think even like my mom growing up in Aurora, she told me that they used to get made fun of for having burritos instead of like sandwiches and stuff like that, which we joke about in the house. But then it's like, wait a second, it's really not that funny, you know? And I think this past couple years, I've been like, what was it really like? And what did my grandparents and even my great grandparents go through? And it helps me have like so much more of an appreciation for everything that's like happening, or like everything that I'm living today. And I think personally for me, sometimes I feel guilty. I'm like, gosh, like everybody worked so hard for me to get here. But then you realize like that was them, the way that they showed us love, you know? And I think like sharing these stories helps really just show how much we appreciate you doing the work, Grandpa Santos doing the work, Grandpa Jerry, like everybody who really put in that time and energy to like just be loving families and just keep the family generation going.
You asked me about hardships in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Just touching real briefly, some of the painful memories, if I may share, is that My friend and I, he was happened to be a little Anglo point, my friend Patrick, we were at the bowling alley and or stand outside the bowling alley or around the the bar, I guess. I don't know why we were there. And this man came out, must have been a 40-year-old man, and he told me, he looked at my friend, he goes, "What are you doing with him, with me?" Mm. He says, "He probably has a knife in his pocket." Oh. And he looked to me and he goes, get. See, stuff like that was real painful. Another one I share with my girls is we were having show and tell. I was in about fourth grade. And this little girl, my classmate, little Anglo girl, brought some kind of dolls. I don't know what she brought. But it was recess after that. And we were all headed outside to get our coats. It was winter time. And my teacher, her name was Mrs. Redmond. I still remember. She came over to me and first of all, I walked by to get my coat. And I heard that little girl telling Mrs. Redmond, I can't find my items that I brought. And I think Frankie took them. Mm. And right in, you know, I couldn't explain myself. But why? I said, why are they doing that? Because I'm different, because I am a brown skin. And so instead of my teacher saying, Frankie, can I check your pockets? She just came over me and started, you know, checking my pockets. And I felt humiliated. I felt really sad. And they didn't find him. And then later on, that little girl says, oh, I found him. And my teacher never did tell me, I'm sorry. And neither did that little girl. Mm. And now those are painful memories. The joyful memory, I'll end it, this is when I was in singing class, I was a little boy, and there was a teacher, her name was Mrs. Allen. Oh, she was an angel. She loved me. And she says, Frankie, it wasn't the same without you. It wasn't the same without you. We had a play. She gave me a ride in her. She was the dentist's wife. And she made these wings for her, or this little suit for me in a play. And she just loved me. Mm-hmm. And if I could tell her today, Mrs. Allen, you don't know, you know, how much I loved you, what you did for me. You know, I say, thank you.
Yeah, it's like those little actions that we think are small, but they're actually like really huge. Is there anything that you would tell Grandpa Jerry?
Brother, you're an awesome brother. I'm sorry in life that you died, that I didn't get to tell you what you meant to me. Much I loved you. How good you are to me. How kind. How sweet. How gentle. How giving. I'm sorry I wasn't there when you called me for the last time and you asked me how I was doing. And I didn't know it would be the last time. But I want you to know, brother, that I love you. I'll never forget you. Thank you.
Yeah. And I truly believe that he was part of the big, you know, calling that I felt like, you know, when you hear that voice in your back of the head, you know, that it was him, that it was Grandpa Santos, Grandma Maria. And I think it's cool that we get to share these stories. So, like, again, I want to appreciate everybody's, like, hard work. But even the stories that you just told me about those times in school, like, I just love acknowledging that because, like, I think that hurt, it lingers. And I think this message, this whole interview, is really allowing people to just not only feel, right, those times that where those things did happen and say, like, wow, that actually was really hard. And give themselves permission to say, like, yes, I've had amazing things, but there was also some times that were harder. And then also, I hope this encourages other people to talk to their grandparents and their great uncles and just really get to know the story, because I'm literally still shook about Grandma Maria and Grandpa Santos in the river. This is like a movie. That's like, I feel like, it's just like so cool. And I just, it's really cool to see where we come from, you know?
It is.
So thank you for letting me put this little setup here.
You're very welcome.
And thank you for sharing. And I'll go ahead and stop recording.
Okay.
Thank you again so much for tuning in today's episode. If it resonated with you and it's inspired you to really invest this time and energy into your lineage, your family, your stories, please, please, please let me know on social media. And I'm just so happy and grateful that you tuned in today. And I will see you on the next episode.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Manifesting Money podcast. If this episode resonated with you or shifted your paradigm in any way, shape, or form, please stop what you're doing right now and write us a review. This simple act of kindness helps us get this podcast episode out to as many people as we possibly can. And we also want to know what resonated with you and why. So be sure to join our free Facebook group that you can find in the show notes or tag us on Instagram. Either way, we love when you're in our energy and we love rewarding you for listening to the podcast. When you're ready to truly break down your money blocks and learn how to make money work for you, not the other way around, go to the show notes and learn how you can work with us and join our community of people who are making massive shifts in their finances. Thanks again for tuning into this episode, and we cannot wait to share your testimonies. We'll see you in the next episode.